out your Bible and crack it right in the middle tonight to the Psalms. And right in the heart of the Bible is Psalm 119. And let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I'm going to start reading at verse 57, and we'll read through verse 62, where I have my text. You follow along as I read in our copy of God's Word. He says in verse 57, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forsaken thy law." And verse 62 is our text. "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." And that's our text tonight, Psalm 119, verse 62. Now, the psalm is found in the center of the Bible, and really the verse that we have as our text speaks of the 24-hour day that we have and what is the heart of your 24-hour day. It's midnight. Midnight. That's the heart of our 24-hour day. And if you read verse 62, it says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Now, we're Gentiles. We have a Gentile calendar. When does our day start? At what time? Yell it out.
5:45.
Wow, that's great. That's great. That's great. He's got it, man. He's got it. Bobby, that's great. Brother Matt, would you help him? You can't help him. I'll have to help you, Bobby. Our day starts at midnight. Midnight in 1 second. Yeah, Bobby. Yes, Bobby. He's going like this. Midnight in 1 second. Tonight will be what day, Matt? What day, though, of the week? Thursday. So midnight in 1 second. So our day starts at midnight, right? And that's the Gentile day. But it's kind of weird because our day starts out when it's dark, and then it gets light, and then it gets dark again, doesn't it? So that doesn't follow. We need to follow a biblical day. A biblical day, it says in Genesis 1, is the evening and the morning. Jesus said in John 12, I believe it is, he's, "Are there not 12 hours in a day?" Speaking of the daylight portion of a day. So when does the day start with the Jewish day? Well, obviously it's in the evening. One of the men tell me what time that is, that the Jewish day starts, the biblical day. Yeah, you got your hand up, anybody? Brother Eric?
6
p.m. So it starts at 6 p.m. and it goes till all the way till 6 a.m., 12 hours. And then the daylight portion is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so you have in the biblical day, it starts out in what? Darkness. And then it goes into light and ends in light. Isn't that the way we start out? Don't you start out dead in trespasses and sins? When your dad and mom got together, even if they're born again, you still come out dead because you're in Adam. And you are in darkness. You are in darkness. You're in Satan's kingdom. As a child, you're there, even though you may have believing parents. And if you get born again, then the light comes in. And Jesus is the light of the world. He's the S-O-N. And you then go on in light through the rest of your day. So that is a proper way to look at the day. And David said, "I'm going to arise at midnight with a biblical day to praise God in the darkness of midnight to praise the Lord. Now, David purposes to do that. And he says, I'll give thanks unto the Lord at midnight. But here's the question to you tonight. Why does he give thanks at midnight? And the answer is in Psalm 119:62. He says, because of what? Thy righteous judgments. Why is David giving thanks to God? Because God is just and he is the judge of all the earth. He will judge in the earth. He will set things right. He will come through. He will do his just punishments upon sin and sinners. And so you can say this tonight. I can say this in the darkest time of your daily cycle of life. You can get up and give thanks that God will judge moral darkness, spiritual darkness. God will judge. God will judge things in the church. You might see things in the church you don't like. But guess who the judge is? The Lord. He will judge it. He will set it right. You may sleep at night. I may sleep at night. Hopefully you will. But God is always awake. As you look at the darkness in our country and all around us, you may wonder if God's justice and judgment is asleep. I want to tell you from Psalm 119:62, David said, I'm going to wake up because of thy righteous judgment. God is not asleep. His justice is not asleep. And so that's why David got up at midnight. And by the way, we've been living in 6,000 years. 6,000 years of sin and Satan's rule over the earth in his kingdom of darkness. But thank God there's coming a day when that is going to end and the darkness is going to end and we can praise the Lord for God's judgment that will come on Satan and on Satan's kingdom. Amen. And also we can praise the Lord 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, the prince of this world is judged, because Jesus took the judgment so that we can escape this present evil world of Satan and the darkness and have the Son. Do you have the Son? Are you walking in the light because of the Son? I am, and I praise God for that light. I'm not in darkness. I'm not stumbling around wondering where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. And if I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. By the way, that's going on forever. We're going to live in the light. By the way, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down over the old Jerusalem, it's always light. There's no darkness at all. It's lit up by sunlight, S-O-N light. Oh, that's something to thank God for, to look forward to. God is not asleep. God is not dead. His righteous judgments are going to be poured out. And you may be at a time of midnight in your life. You may be overwhelmed with your own pressures and problems. But God is not asleep in your midnight hour of your overwhelming distresses and darkness. And my message to you tonight is just 2 points. God's might for your midnight. God's might for your midnight. Let me read that verse again. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Point number one. First, because God has been mighty to judge your enemies and release you as his own people at midnight. God has been and is, listen, mighty to judge his enemies and your enemies, and to release you, his own people, at midnight. Do you believe the Lord is able to judge your enemies? I know he is, and he will. I read in Exodus 11, verses 4 through 6. Hear the word of God. It says, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. When did God say that he would end Pharaoh's rebellion? When did God say that he would bring down his final and greatest judgment upon Pharaoh's kingdom of Egypt? It was at midnight. That's when the death angel showed up. That's when the oldest in every family was judged and put to death by God and by his death, right at midnight there in the land of Egypt, you see. And so the Lord said, he said he's going to do that. The Lord said about midnight. Notice that. The Lord said, I will go out into the midst of Egypt. So who did the judging? It was the Lord himself. Right. He said, I will go out. The Lord went out. The Lord judged the Egyptians, and Pharaoh's hardness was judged. And I want to say, we can count upon the Lord, number one, to judge our enemies, number two, to release his own people, but you can count on the Lord to judge your enemies, to judge the enemies of the Lord, Satan and his crowd. I think about what we're going through right now in this country, and my righteous soul is grieved by what I see. You know, I just found out my mother had Corona SARS-2 clone of a virus called popularly COVID. And my cousin Carolyn, who's been helping my mom, came up with it. And she said, but I don't really have any bad symptoms, you know. But here's the deal. These are scamdemics. They're plandemics. And if you turn to Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8, it's now becoming very clear what the pestilence is. The pestilence are pandemics, but there's also scamdemics or plandemics. They are not something that God is doing, per se. They are something Satan is doing, with God's permission, and there's something that the New World Order people are doing. You see? They're doing these things. By the way, I've been saying for years, I was just talking to Brother Z up here, and I've been saying what? Watch out for aliens showing up. Watch out for aliens. And people always say, he's nuts, he's crazy. People walk out of the church, why? He's nuts, he's crazy. But really, other people might say he's a genius. No, I'm not a genius. I just know the Bible. That's why I'm smarter than the average bear, because I know the Bible. I read that Bible. And now in Mexico, illegal aliens, they presented the bodies of them. They weren't Central Americans. They were aliens from outer space. And they just presented the proof. How many saw that or heard about that? Not many of you, but some of you. And so thank God for those that are aware. But yeah, they present it. And just watch out for that. Now, we know who the aliens are. They're fallen angels. We know that. Or they're surviving hybrids from Noah's day, the spirit part of them. We know these aliens. And we know that Jesus said in Matthew 24, watch out for deception. This same New World Order crowd is deceiving us with these kind of things, and will eventually deceive the whole world to take the mark of the beast. They got them to mask up, didn't they? Everybody masked up. And by the way, the masks kill people. Now they're finding that out. They have the most. I just looked in the Epic Times, a big study that these masks are—they're ingesting harmful toxins into your body. They're not saving you. Fauci is full of baloney. They don't save anybody. They don't help anybody. They don't protect them. You say, what about the N95 masks? No, studies have shown they don't do it either. They don't do it either. And I'm just saying to you the truth. And I'm just saying, listen, the Bible says deception. That's part of darkness. And it calls for God to judge the enemies because they're killing people this way. They're killing them with scamdemics. I believe my father was killed by that. People have taken the jabs, and I just read testimony today about a lady that took the jab and all this sickness she went through and all the pain that she went through and how many people have been killed. We've had people in our church that have been affected by this, brought to early graves by this. Listen, this is part of the darkness that calls for judgment. What about the earthquakes in diverse places? I don't believe they're just the natural earthquakes that we've been having. I believe they're the earthquakes that will be caused by the globalists. They'll be man-made. What about HAARP? You know, there are people that say HAARP is a conspiracy theory. But I heard a CIA whistleblower, born-again Christian, and he said that the CIA would go to the mainstream media in the 60s and 70s, and they would give them the talking points. You see, our CIA, FBI, our intelligence agencies need to be dismantled. They're deceiving people. They're going against our country. They're going against our Constitution. And they're working with the wicked Justice Department. I'm seeing we are in times of darkness. But Jesus said these times will come. They'll come. And they characterize the first 3.5 years of the last 7 years before the Lord sets up his kingdom. So we can expect that type of thing to come. And famines. What are famines? Food shortages. And they're going to harm the food supply and so forth and so on. So all of these things call for God's judgment upon his enemies. But I want to ask one of the men a question. What during the end times is the greatest period of darkness that will come on the earth? I've just told you the beginning of birth pains. But what is the greatest period of deception and darkness that will come upon the earth? What's it called?
Great Tribulation.
He's right on, the Great Tribulation. That's why when these guys go into a Sunday school class of the average independent fundamental Baptist church and they're asking messages on prophecy, if they gave the right answer, they'd be wrong, right? So many times. And that's why he said they don't go to Sundays. They'll go to church when they're visiting. But anyway, I'm just saying to you, thank God for true teaching of the Word of God. The greatest time of darkness will be the Great Tribulation. And what will that be? That will be when the New World Order in the middle of the 70th week rises to power and the Jewish Antichrist and the Gentile beast control all the commerce, all the business, all the stores, everything. You think you had it bad when we went through the little test? What will it be at that time? We went to a restaurant, celebrated Kyle's birthday, had delicious food. You won't be able to do that. I'm just saying that Satan hates you. Satan wants to kill you. God has held him off. But listen, there are times when we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Amen? And we should not be surprised at such times. We should not be amazed at such times. And I'm just saying to you that the Great Tribulation will come, and that will be the midnight hour. That will be the midnight hour. And what will cut it short? Cosmic darkening. God will turn off the sun. God will turn off the moon. God will turn off all the lights. He'll shut down the power grid. I mean, it will be so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. That will stop the Great Tribulation, the great persecution of God's people. That will stop. When? At the midnight hour. Just like with Pharaoh. At the midnight hour, the Lord went out when the people of God were oppressed and distressed. At the midnight hour, he judged their enemies. And at the midnight hour, the Lord is going to cause the darkness to come. And people are going to run like roaches to hide from the wrath of God. It's coming. It's coming to a country near you, to a world near you. It's coming. And that's how God works. He judges our enemies at the midnight hour. But not only that, I said the Lord is able to release you as his child in your midnight hour from your captivity. Now keep this in mind. The Lord used the Passover not only to bring down his judgment on the Egyptians, but also to get his people released. Notice what it says in Exodus 11, verse 6. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it. This is Moses talking to Pharaoh. And he says, nor shall be like it anymore. But then in verse 8 of Exodus 11, Moses says, but then all these thy servants, and all these thy servants, that's Pharaoh's servants, shall come down unto me, that's Moses, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. Oh my, isn't that great that when the judgment came down on the Egyptians, God had his people released because they said to Moses, get out, get your people and go, leave. And you know what? After the darkest hour, when it's going to be the hardest time for the bride of Christ, that will be the time when the Lord will bring the final sign of judgment down upon them to begin the sixth seal, the darkness, to begin the day of the Lord that will follow. When that comes down, right after that sixth seal, when it's dark, what's going to happen? The next thing we'll see is the light. What's that song? It may be at morn, may be at midnight, by day and blah, 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 blah. It's going to be at midnight, because all across the world it'll be midnight, friend. And then we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that's not a secret rapture, my friend. That is a glorious appearing. That's an epiphany, my friend. That is what our hope is. That's what we're looking forward to. I'm looking for Jesus to come back. But I know he comes at the midnight hour. I see it again and again. And that will release you, my friends. Now, sometimes we look at this and I think about my sons. And I told them, I said, look, we've been praying for God to bring judgment down upon the Obamas. Amen. I said, they're running this country from a shadow government. You talk about Bidenomics. Obama's in his third term right now. He's in his third term. He's running it. And of course, Soros and corrupt money are running him. And we know we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan, right? We're not ignorant of his devices. Be wise as serpents, but be harmless as doves. Yes, give the gospel, but don't be a fool. Know what's going on. You're a child of light. You can know what's going on. And so we know what's going on in our country. We know the pandemics that are going on. We know the depopulation that's going on. We know right now the election is coming up, so they're trying to arrest Donald Trump all the times they can and everybody that helps him, because they don't want him even on the ballot, because you see the crowds that follow. They don't want him, and they're fighting against it. But you know what? I told my son, said, look, you said you're praying that God would bring the Obamas to military tribunals and judgment. You're praying the Clintons would be brought, lock her up, bring her to military tribunals and judgments. And you've been telling us that, but look who's actually going to jail, Trump. Look who's actually going to jail, all these people that are standing up. Like people that were peacefully demonstrating for their First Amendment right under the Bill of Rights. They're being arrested. They're being put in jail for decades. That's not what you said. And what I said, don't let that necessarily make you think that it won't happen. Because I said, unless these terrible things happen, why would people wake up to say we've got to put them in jail? That's what it took. That's what it takes. It takes waking people up, and that will be the final straw. That, and it is right now happening, which it's interesting. Now they're starting impeachment proceedings, and you say that's going to be nothing, but you don't know. That could be the beginning in 2023 that we've been praying for. That open door! And so I don't despair, because I know at the midnight hour, God brings judgment upon the enemies of God's people. And God releases God's people in the midnight hour. And we've been praying for a preview of the day of the Lord. A mini day of the Lord, if you will. To push back the devil's timeline and give us an open door. And I'm still praying for that, if God would be so good to do that. It would not be contrary to the way he operates. Now let me say, something else about releasing you at the midnight hour, judging your enemies and releasing you at the midnight hours. Look at Samson in Judges 16, verse 3. Judges 16, it said, and Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Now, you know, Judges, the theme of Judges is sin of God's people, slavery that God puts on God's people, and then what? Salvation by his saviors. The judges are little saviors. Now, Samson followed that in his own life, didn't he? What did Samson do? He sinned. You know what Samson's big problem was? Looking at girls. And it was always the wrong girls he looked at. It was the unsaved girls. You know, his own dad said, why can't you like a good girl, you know? And he kept going after the wrong girls. But Samson sinned, and then Samson got into slavery, because remember, Delilah cut his hair, which was the symbol of his power under the vow of separation. And he lost his Holy Spirit power, because that's where he got his power. It wasn't from his muscles. And then he was enslaved. By the way, have you ever been in captivity due to your sin? Have you ever gotten enslaved because of your sin? You see, it happens to God's people, and it happened to Samson. But I want you to notice here the glorious thing in Judges 16. It says, Samson lay till midnight. They were all around Samson. They had him caught. They knew right where he was. He was in the house of a wrong girl, an unsaved Philistine, and they had him dead to rights. But what happened at the midnight hour? He got up, he went to the gate, put it right at his shoulders, and carried it out while they were sleeping. He walked right out of their grasp. Do you know what? God can deliver us at midnight even when we don't deserve it. When we got ourselves into captivity, God can come through in your life. And he's done it before, and he will do it again. I'm talking about in America. I'm talking about praying for America. I'm not giving up on it. God's might for your midnight first, because God has been mighty and is mighty to judge your enemies and release you, his people, at midnight. And by the way, you see that release in Matthew 25. In verse 5, it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they, speaking of the 10 virgins, all slumbered and slept. But then verse 6 says, and at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And you know, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, it'll be the midnight hour, like I said. And then the Lord will appear and he will take us out. Some of us may be sleeping. Some of us may be not where we ought to be. But just like Lot in Sodom, did that stop the angels from dragging him out of there? No, it didn't. Every believer will be preserved and taken out of this world. Thank God for that. At the midnight hour, I'm just saying, God's might for your midnight is real. because he's been mighty to judge your enemies and release you his people at the midnight hour. Secondly, and finally, God is mighty to save people through you at midnight. Let me say that again. God is mighty, beloved, listen, to save people through you at midnight. You say, why through me, Pastor? I'm not. Because you're his chosen witness. And God wants to save people through you. Now, I think of Paul and Silas. They were in Philippi. They were telling people the gospel. They were being beaten for it. They were being beaten, and then they were put in jail, but not just in jail. They were put in the inner hole of the jail, the worst place. Then, if that wasn't bad enough, they were put in stocks. So they're in the inner hole, in behind bars, so to speak, in jail, now in stocks. And not only that, it was dark, it was midnight. But what were they doing? You know what they were doing. It says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. That's a good thing to do at midnight, amen. Arise and pray. Prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know what? I want to ask you, at your midnight, are you still singing? Are you still praising God? If you are, when you're going through persecution, you're going through suffering, that's when the world hears you. Amen? They say, something's going on here. I can't understand this. I mean, things are going bad. Their dainties have been taken away from them. It's bad, but they're praising God. They must have something bigger than this world. They may have something better than this world. And we do, beloved. We got something that's out of this world.
Amen.
And so they were praising God at midnight, beaten in stocks in the inner sanctum of the prison there, the whole of the prison. And so the prisoners got to hear them praising God. And if you want to reach people, why don't you praise God at your midnight? But now, the question is, what did God do? What did God do for them? I like it. I've seen it so many times in this church. We've gone through the darkness, our midnight, and God has delivered us as we prayed and praised his name. And it says here that in the Psalms, it says God inhabits the praises of his people. God loves it when you praise him. He's worthy to be praised, right? It's appropriate to praise him. It's appropriate. He loves it. When John tried to praise the angel, remember in Revelation, the angel said, don't do that. It's not appropriate to praise me. I'm just a creature like you. I'm a servant like you. Praise God! And I'll do it tonight. Praise God tonight. Praise God! Praise God tonight. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord tonight. And so they were doing that. And what does it say happened? Verse 26, listen to this. It said, and what? Suddenly. Let me say that again. Hey, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison doors were opened and one's bands were loosed. You know what? It's great. You can knock on doors and they're closed to you. You could go to certain areas and they're closed to you. But you keep going and praising God in your midnight hour, and all of a sudden, God will open the doors. Isn't that what happened in the prison? God opened the doors. These were prison doors. They're locked. They got prisoners in there. They opened up. God can open the doors for you when you pray to him, when you praise him, and you trumpet out his good news. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. I love it. By the way, there's going to be a great earthquake when the Lord shakes this place up. Amen. And I'm hoping for a great earthquake in America. I'm hoping for a great earthquake. Suddenly, that God will shake these devils up and wake them up to what he's all about. And I'm going to get up at midnight, or whenever God gets me up, and praise God for his righteous judgment. Psalm 119 and verse number 62. Now it says here, then, verse 29, then he called for a light, the jailer, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, What must I do to be saved? Have I seen it? Yes, I have. People that weren't open to salvation, now they're open. Kyle called me about his cousin, Mara. Somebody not been open to the gospel, but she's gotten into some deep doo-doo, some deep trouble. In jail. And I'm praying, Kyle, that God would use that to open her heart to the gospel. He can do it. Are you praying for that in Scranton? That God is shaken. So when people in the world are shaken up, we're still praising God. Paul knew what was going on. Amen. He knew it was all for the gospel. And it all worked out. What must I do to be saved? And then it's very simple. What did he tell them? Repent of all your sins. Straighten your life out. Do this. Do that. Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. And the guy got saved right then and there. His family got saved. They got baptized that night. Didn't wait around. I'm just saying, listen. And I'll give you one more verse that I know of here. It says in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation, that's the way you live your life. Conversation there means the way you live your life. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. You ever had anybody rail on you for soul winning and... Right. Right. Represent the Lord. They speak against you as evildoers. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God when? In the day of visitation. You know what that is? That's the day God visits them. I visit on Thursdays. I visit on Saturdays. But when does God visit? When he gets around to it. Just when he wants to. And when he visits, let me tell you, they're ready to get saved. Amen? Then they're ready to get saved. And they're going to glorify God. That's why I don't get upset and start having a word battle with somebody back and forth that's cutting me down about the gospel and Jesus Christ. I say, praise God, man. I'm praying for that day of visitation. I pray for that day of visitation. That's what's kept me here in Scranton all these years. If I've had people come on me, try to beat me up, same thing with Donald Trump. They're beaten and beaten and beaten, but still haven't knocked him out, have they? I'm still praying for that day of visitation. But how about you? How about you, friends? How about you? I'm just saying, God delivers at midnight. Listen. Let me conclude. Remember, God's might is often displayed in your midnight. Therefore, don't despair of the darkness that deepens in your family. Don't despair of the darkness that deepens in your community. Don't despair of the darkness that deepens around you, my friend. Hope in the Lord and hope for his right hand to be taken out of his rest here and displayed, number one, to judge your enemies. Number two, to release you from your captivities. And number three, to save people through you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. I wonder, tonight, do you understand?